Father in heaven, we come before you this evening again. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to look in your word and to look at ourselves and to, as we go through the minor prophets, to see so many things that are applicable to this nation and also to us individually in our relationship with you and how we live. We pray that you'll help us to stay focused on you during these tumultuous times and not get distracted by all the things of the world that would take us away from that relationship with you and your word. And so we just ask your blessing here this evening. Inspire what's taught and what's communicated back and forth, and be edifying and give all glory and honor to you. And we thank you for the sacrifice of your son, and just appreciate the love you both have for us as fickle little humans that we are, but we are potentially to be part of your family in spirit, and we look forward to that with just incredible just excitement. And so now, Father, we ask your blessing. We thank you. We turn this over to you. Pray you'll bless the transmission and also the reception, and keep it stable and keep our adversary from us. We also pray that you will protect your children and the many that don't yet know you, Father, from the storm. If you read the news media, you'd think the end of the world's coming, but it is a tropical storm, and news media loves to just exaggerate and blow everything up to scare the liver out of everybody, and we don't need that. But just pray you'll protect property and lives of even innocent folks that may not know you but are caught in it and some of the storm surges and things which are normal for down here. But just pray that you'll protect those and us. Also pray that you'll be with Barbara Shanks and her challenges that she's facing with meningitis and issues she has. Also Mary Hanks, who fell, please bless her, encourage her, help her to heal quickly, and just strengthen her as she's got a few years under her belt, and things like this can really set somebody back even further at her age. Also pray that you'll be with Pam Kimmons, who's going in for to have a stent that enters to the pancreas, and just permanent, if they call it that. And we know in this life there is nothing that's permanent or temporary, all of us. And just pray you'll encourage and help her. So help us to stay focused on you, that relationship with you, that we are physical, to stay focused on the spiritual and what's really, really important. And not get caught up in all of the things of this world, because God, your spirit is not of fear. It is love, power, and a sound mind, and it is not fearful, Father. Humans are fearful. So we ask that and ask this now, and thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so this evening, we're going to continue with the book of Amos. And in preparing this today, it struck me again how what a blessing it is to be able to look at God's word and what he prophesies and what was written and recorded, all of it for our admonition, as Paul wrote, all these examples. And so this falls into that. And so let's begin, and I'm reading from. Someone asked me what version I'm reading. It's the Authorized Version or the King James Version. So the wording may be a bit different, but I'll try to, in some cases, change some of the verbiage to be a little bit more easier to understand. So, Amos chapter 4, we begin verse 1. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. Now, I remember the first time I looked at that word, I was about 6 or 7 years old. I went through the minor prophets when I was a young child. And Gail, you might want to text my mom. She may have forgotten. Ye, anyway, what was the word kine? I was like, what does that mean? You know, it means cattle or cows. Or as Kathy Myers would say, she's driving down the road, cows! So it means cattle. Hear you this word, you cattle of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor. Now we need to ask yourself, how's a cow going to oppress someone? I'll explain in a minute. Which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. All of this is typical of how Amos wrote. And if you look at what he's talking about, I'm just going to translate some of this, make it a little better to understand. The cattle of Bashan, in many places in God's word, they were known as very fat cows. When I lived in Wisconsin and in California and Florida, ironically, a lot of people think Wisconsin has the largest dairy cows of Holsteins, which become quite large and heavy and give a lot of milk. Actually, California has way more cows than Wisconsin could think of. And so the center section of California is very just a beautiful area for them. But here, if you ever seen a Holstein, it's just huge, and they're big cows. Having milked them and having been around them and having just worked with them, they get quite large. And so here, these cows, though, were called fat cows. They were very well-fed cattle. But what it literally meant, and this is what, if you read the context and everything going on, he was talking about, and this is not meant to be disrespectful, but God's this way. And when he reveals things, he said, you cattle of Bashan, he's not talking about fat cows or well-fed cattle. He's literally saying, you fat women, which oppress the poor, you crush the needy, and you say to their masters, it's not their boss, it's their husbands. We want more possessions, more things, more food, more luxury. Bring and let us drink, let us eat. And so this is going to play into context when you, as we begin to go through the chapter. God's not happy about that. I once knew a man that worked, try to be careful here. He was a pharmaceutical rep, and he did, hold on, somebody's. He was a pharmaceutical rep. He was quite wealthy, and he made a lot of money back in the day, a lot of money, several hundred thousand dollars a year. And he worked hard, but he was good at what he did. But his wife was never satisfied. He could never make enough money. And he would say to me, I cannot make enough money to satisfy what she wants. She would go to the store, high-end stores that frankly, Gail and I didn't shop at, and buy two or three new dresses a week sometimes. And the list went on, and he would counsel with me, say, I don't know what to do. I can't make enough. She's never happy. She wants more. She's so, and she wasn't fat physically, but he said, she's so fat and happy, but I can't give her enough stuff. And eventually they divorced. Not surprised. And so here's an example where he said, hear this, you fat women that are in the mountain, which oppress the poor, crush the needy, say to their your husbands, bring and let us drink. You can do better than that, hubby. Let's go to verse 2. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks. Now, you can look this up later. I'll just, for time, 2 Chronicles 33, verse 11. These hooks were rings in their faces. That this the skin is tender. You know that? Your cheeks up in here having had cuts and gashes. It gets, they're pretty tender. And so they had these rings in their faces, these hooks, and they were tied to chariots and pulled along. You'd really have to have a high threshold of pain to just jerk out of that. to become free from that. And your posterity, somebody can translate that word if you'd like, with fish hooks. So it's not a very pleasant picture. Bill Garrett has sent me a picture where he accidentally got a large fish hook in his hand, and how he did that, I won't share that. But he had a large fish hook in his hand, and it just the picture alone was worth a thousand words. It was like, that's got to really, man, that has to hurt. And continue. So 2 Chronicles 33:11 talks about in their lower lip, they were just pulled along. And verse 3, and you shall go out at the breaches. And what does that mean? It means they're going through the fences, every cow at that which is before her, and you shall cast them into the palaces, the eternal. So they go out of those, but they're not able to come back in or get back in. When I was growing up, we used to chase cattle, sometimes horses, sometimes sheep, to try to get them back into the corral. And eventually, some of the stubborn ones would just wait till you quit chasing them, and then they'd just go around until they found the opening. They'd go back in, then you shut the gate. Some of them you had to almost throw in or push them in. Verse 4. Come to Bethel and transgress. Now, there's sarcasm in this. Come to Bethel and transgress. These were noted places of false worship. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. So do even more sin there and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And if you look at the original context, he said, you know, it's easier to bring my offering daily than it is to have to remember, give some thought to it, of what it should say in 3 days, not 3 years, or three times, or three seasons. So he said, you know, you don't even want to put the effort, he's being sarcastic partly, you don't even want to put the effort to think about your offering and prepare it before you give it. I remember one time pastoring a congregation somewhere where I mentioned, you know, some of you pull your checkbook out just as the offering is starting to be collected, back when I was part of something where they did that. I don't now. We collect offerings, but we don't have a big ta-da about it. But people would pull their checkbook out and wonder how much I should write. I'm like, and I remember saying, you know, give some thought ahead of time. If you know you're going to make, I'm just throwing a number, $10,000 a year, and you're going to give a $200 offering each holy day or for the whole time, then think about it ahead of time. Prepare for it, just like you do when you tithe. You prepare. You give what God is first. But he said, you want to make it easy. You're just going to do it once every 3 days. And several translations will bring that out, that it means 3 days, not every 3 years. There's a lesson there for you and me, in addition to them. In verse 5, he sort of continues with poking fun at Israel. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, go ahead and do it with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this likes you, O you children of Israel, says the Lord God. That works for you. That makes you feel good. But it's not what I'm asking. So again, he's trying to reach them and show them, and this is applicable to all of us as well. Verse 6, and I will have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, that you have not yet returned to me, says the Lord. So he said, cleanness of teeth doesn't mean you just brushed your teeth or used a water pick, okay? It means if your teeth are clean, you don't have any hamburger in there, Eric. You know, you're gonna rinse, you're gonna swish around and clean, and some people have to brush their teeth before and after they eat. Kind of odd, but they do. And Others just, the cleanness of teeth means you don't have any food. And in 2 Kings chapter 8, I'd like Eric, if you could turn to that, 2 Kings chapter 8. Historically, here's an example of what happened here, what this is talking about.
What verse?
Verse 1, 2 Kings 8, verse 1. I believe that's what I want.
Okay. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can. For the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years."
Okay. So here, what God's trying to do here, he says, I'm trying to soften you up, Israel, by doing this. Usually, most of us, when we have severe trials, we go without food, we don't have a job, our health suffers. We generally, God does something with the physical, the way we're wired, to get our attention, like Houston, we have a problem. Sadly, as soon as things go back to everything's going well, many of us, we all do, we're humans, we kind of go back into, it's pretty good. Don't need to pray as much, don't need to study, life's good. And then the famous line in so many movies and lives, oh my God, please help me, when everything goes south, it doesn't go well. And so we're kind of like this up and down yo-yo. And God says, you'll notice in many of these verses, but after this, you still have not returned to me. Verse 7. And I also have withheld the rain from you. When there were yet 3 months to the harvest, I caused it to rain or flood upon one city, and I caused it not to rain upon the other city. Severe drought. One piece was rained upon, and the piece where it rained on didn't with it. It not was not withered. And so here's an example as we'll go through verses 8. You had floods and drought, verse 8. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. They couldn't receive enough. But yet they did not return unto me, says the Lord. It's like this broken record. Da 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 da, but yet you still didn't return to me, folks. Israel. Verse 9. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. It's a result of the dampness. It was what was called the blasting, was this damp wind. And I know when Kathy and Eric came to visit, she said, oh, the one morning I thought it was great. There was hardly any humidity. And she's like, oh, it's so humid down here. I'm like, it's not even humid today. But she wasn't used to it. And so that dampness, that damp wind, damp, D-A-M-P, when your gardens, your vineyards, and your fig trees, your olive trees increased, well, then I sent this type of locust, the palmer worm, and ate them up. Again, here we go. Da 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 da. Yet you have not returned unto me, says the Eternal. Do you think repetition, we would sort of get that? And many times in our lives, God says, if you'll just do this and that relationship with me, I'll take care of you. But you won't. You're too stubborn. I don't want to get political here, but I guarantee you tonight in the debate, you're not going to hear, my friends and the fellow Americans, we need to repent before God and return to Him in obedience. And if we do, yes, this nation can be great again. You're not going to hear that from either one. That's how positive I am, unless it's a political move somehow, but I can't see that being helpful. We'll see. Maybe they'll make a liar out of me. So he said, the result of the dampness, everything seems to be going well, all your crops, but I'm going to curse that too. Wow. Verse 10. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and I have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet, here we go, you have not returned unto me, says the Lord. Are you keeping track of how many that repeats? It wasn't just, oops, I think that sounds good. I'll put it in there again. He said, you've lost some of your battles where the young people should have cleaned house. But they got beat up and killed. And there were so many that the stink was because of the dead bodies, and the dead men is what caused that. It wasn't that they didn't shower or that wind that was damp. They were dead. And unfortunately, I have come across in a few circumstances over the years, human bodies that have been dead, either going into a house, finding someone, or one time by the railroad tracks in Tampa, in foreign countries. And I'm telling you, if the wind's right or you come up and you don't, it reeks, as they say, to high heaven. So he said, this stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils, you only have to smell it once. And many times the normal human reaction is to vomit. It's so vile. You can't help it. You just, whoa, it's bad. Verse 11. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand, though, plucked out of the burning. I want to stop there for a minute. So a firebrand means you were half burned, you weren't completely burned, and I plucked you out of the fire. I pulled your fat out of the fire, as we say, to try to help you. Yet, here we go. Have you not returned unto me, says the Lord? Are you keeping track of how many there is here? Here we go again. He said, I tried to save you, to help you, but you haven't returned to me. Verse 12. Therefore, this will I do unto you, O Israel, because I will do this unto you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. There's not a lot of tenderness here, folks. There's not a lot of compassion. Even God says, I've had enough. How many of you remember the conversation he had with Moses? He got exasperated after over and over. He said, I'm going to kill them all and start over with you. You remember that conversation? So we need to, I don't suggest you or I ever gamble with our father and his son. When he says, obey me, worship me in spirit and truth, I suggest we do it. If you want to gamble and push that envelope, well, I guess you could do that. I just don't think it would be extremely wise. In fact, not wise at all. So he's pretty clear here. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Verse 13. For lo, he has formed the mountains, he created the wind, and he declared unto man what is his thought. That makes the morning darkness. This word wind here declared to man what is his thought, talking about the spirit of man. And makes the morning darkness and treads upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. He can change day to night and night to day. All he has to do is say it. You remember when the spirit of God moved upon the waters? And he said, let there be light. And it was so. So, God's the creator. He has the ability to do this. Chapter 5. In chapter 5, it's written almost in a funeral dirge. It's a type of meter. You know, you can say da 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 da. It's kind of written so that as you read this, it's like, okay. You ever been to a funeral where they just kind of this cadence. And so the Hebrew more accurately would be like that. Hear you this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation or a dirge, O house of Israel. But verse 2 is interesting. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. He's writing here, he says it's about just as good as if it's happened. About 30 more years or so, but they're not going to rise again unless God wants them to. If you look later, and I encourage you to go read Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, and it will make this make a lot more sense as you're reading through this. Verse 3. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. So in Ezekiel chapter 5, and again, I'd like you to read that separately. I don't want to go through that tonight. But this is indicative. You know, he says about 10% will return. It says instead of 1/30, 1/3. 1/3 out of 240 million is 80 million left. Truly decimated. Reduced by 10% or 1/10. Only 8 million left out of 240 million. It's no wonder God calls it, if you look in Ezekiel chapter 5 and other places, the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. Verse 4, for thus says the Eternal unto the house of Israel, search for me, and you shall live. Seek him, as God says in other places, while he may be found. I encourage those listening to this later, and all of you connected, and for me, seek God now while he may be found. The things that are coming upon this nation, including many of the people of God, are not going to be pretty. They're going to be horrific. They're going to be horrible. And if you don't know who God is, it's high time to seek him. Search for him, and you shall live spiritually. Verse 5, but seek not Bethel, nor unto Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. So don't get somehow because you're getting closer to these places of the patriarchs, and God sees that, that somehow you are then going to get some brownie points. Ooh, look at that. He uses this place and he goes here. And he looks for the patriarchs and he uses their name. He's saying, you're not going to get any brownie points for that. Because Gilgal will go into captivity and Bethel shall come to nothing. So that's not going to help you. Seek the Lord and you shall live. Let's go to Isaiah 55, Eric, can you read a couple more verses? Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 8, please.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
Thanks, Eric. So seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire at the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. So here, what's interesting in verse 6, similar to what you read in Isaiah, the house of Joseph. Okay, why is it talking about that? The tribulation will be allowed to come against that. It uses, as we see in other places, Assyria as a rod of wrath. And this is something to remember too. The great tribulation is Satan's wrath. The day of the Lord is God's wrath with the focus. Neither one are things to say, woohoo, I can't wait till these come on this old nation. It deserves every bit of it. You who turn judgment to poison or wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. So there's no fairness. There's no equity. The righteousness is destroyed. Verse 8. Seek him that makes the seven stars in Orion and turns the shadow of death into the morning and makes the day dark with night, that calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. God makes constellations, not science, not some big poof, a big bang. God makes them. And he says, seek the one who has the power over all of this. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in a beginning, God Elohim created bara out of absolutely nothing, shamayim, the heavens and the earth. So it would be Elohim bara shamayim, for those of you that are really into Hebrew. Very, very graphic. It says, everything that's above, everything that's below, anything you can possibly think of that exists, God the Father, Jesus Christ, created. God the Father created that. And Jesus Christ, the two of them. How exactly? Who did what? Not going to get into those semantics. Verse 9. That strengthens the spoiled against the strong, that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebukes in the gate, and they abhor him that speaks uprightly. They don't like the person who has the power or the authority in the gate. They don't. They don't. And they abhor anyone that speaks uprightly. Verse 11. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat. I want to stop there for a minute. So he said, here, in general, they trampled on the poor. So, you always hear about the big corporations, big business. Have you ever had a company, you're like, if I just had the money, I would buy this company out and shut it down or hire all new people. But they're so big, they know that. All you have to do is get on customer service with some of these companies, and they'll tell you where there's a problem. Right? Let's keep going here. They trampled on the poor. Again, I don't want to get into what's going to be said tonight, but oh, we want so much for all of you to have the same cost of living standards and everybody, no wealthy, no poor, everybody's the same. We'll take care of you. You're going to hear that tonight, I promise you, if you watch it. You don't, you won't hear it unless you listen to it later. Verse 12 or verse 11. You have plant, okay. You have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. So you've got these beautiful vineyards with these beautiful grapes used for wine, and your houses of hewn stone. The typical not so fancy house was a type of brick material or wood or other things, but the really fancy one, they were hewn of stone. They were nice. But he said, you're not going to live in them. And you're not going to drink any wine from your great all of the different things of wine, the grapes that are growing. Verse 12. For I know God sees everything, folks. And it may seem like sometimes he doesn't, or you get away with things, or other people get away with things, but it ain't over till it's over. And in our lives, God sees everything. We can have lip service, and the worst ones of these are politicians and ministers. There, I said it. Because they go on and on and on and on about everything so wonderfully in these dynamic presentations, but you're like scratching your head, like, really? Huh. Really? Wow. Okay. And so he says, I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe. Thankfully, we don't have any of that happening, right? They take a bribe, I'm being sarcastic, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. So God sees, he says, I know what's going on in the world. They take a bribe. The poor should be taken care of at the gate. And what does that mean? You just all line up for a free lunch? No, but some people, by different circumstances, were poor. They didn't have anything. And they could come up to the gate and they would be taken care of. They would at least get. I was watching Gunsmoke the other night, and Festus got in a tight spot, and he was riding across the prairie, and he went into this town. He said, would you mind just sharing some victuals with a starving, guy? And they were making fun of him, kicking him around. He said, I just want something to eat. I'm really hungry. So the poor should be taken care of. One of the things you don't hear a lot about, which is still rampant, is the organized crime that's going on in this country. It has a stranglehold on the United States. Unfortunately, at times the government does the same thing. And the various aspects of that that trickles down through corporations and people and individuals, it affects churches, it affects companies, it affects families, it affects cities, it affects nations. And God says, I see all that. I see that. And you are not taking care of the poor. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. And I'm going to say this again, and I keep saying it. But for those that have ears to hear, be prudent, be wise, be careful. Please be careful what you post on social media. And I'm saying this for those that will listen to this later. Don't just print and write whatever you think, whatever about this candidate or that candidate or this situation. As a minister, I have a responsibility, but I still need to be careful. But it says to keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Well, I don't care if they lock me up and beat me to a pulp. Well, be careful what you say you're not afraid of. I used to say, ah, surgery can't be that bad. Well, now I'm like, I don't like them. So you learn, don't you, when you go through things. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so be the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Now, verse 15. We need to pray this daily and live this. Hate the evil. I didn't say the people. Hate the evil. Hate the culture. Detest it. Don't say, oh, that's just the time we're in. If they want to be like that, it's okay. It's not okay. And love the good and establish judgment in the gate. Okay, so I didn't say the person. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. A prophecy for the future. But I pray this every day, that God would be merciful with this nation that I live in. It's awful. It's repulsive. But I pray that. and that God and each one of us should pray it daily, that the Lord would be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Now, verse 16, watch my time here. I may have to stop before we finish. There are some people I've heard that think the day of the Lord will be wonderful. Well, verse 16 to verse 27, therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord says thus, wailing shall be in all the streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and shall the husbandmen to mourning as such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Eternal. Woe unto you that desire. Boy, I can't wait. I've heard some preachers of supposedly Sabbath keepers obeying God. I can't wait till that God just, kicks rear end on this nation for all it's done. Well, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. So if you're one of those, I can't wait for it to come. Bring it on. Says, woe to you. To what end is that for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light. He said, it's not safe anywhere, as if a man did flee from a lion. Not a wonderful day. A bear met him or went to the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. So it's not safe wherever you go. It's just not. Not. It's not safe anywhere. Verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? I'm going to go ahead and, well, it's 7:17. There's so much more that I'd like to go through in these next six verses. I'll leave it up to you. You want to go ahead, because it's just about 7:17, 7:18. If you'd like me to open it up for comments, I can stop here and then we can finish it next week. Any preference?
Let's keep
Go
going.
ahead. Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
All right. He says, I hate and I despise your feast days. Okay. And I will not smell, I will not have a savor in your solemn assemblies. And here's some verses you can look up later. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Again, this will be on recording. You can go back and listen to it. So he says, I despise what you call my feast days. They're yours. They're not mine. And I will not savor you in your solemn assemblies. I won't recognize it. I won't be there. I won't be happy with it. Verse 22, though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. So here you have the futility of, in vain do you worship me. What? Your doctrines being the commandments of men. And I know I sound like a broken record, but for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, wake up. May God's church and his people wake up. Salvation is nearer than you think. But most will just say, ah, we're fine. Kumbaya, all is well. They won't listen carefully. They won't search the scriptures. They won't say, huh, is some man-made thing, or is this what God says? Oh, you don't want to do that. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. I will not regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take you away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your viols. Right? Oh, but we have the most wonderful festival chorale in the world, choir. And our music, it's so wonderful. And he's saying, I don't like it. I don't care for it because I know your hearts. So you think by everybody singing how wonderful it is, I don't like it. But let judgment or equity run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Verse 25, have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? And here you notice verse 26, similar to Hosea chapter 2 and verse 8. You have borne the tabernacle of your Molech and Chiun, the god of perversion, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. I want to ask you a question, and I'm just going to raise this question, and I know I'm going to step in it when I do. In Acts chapter 7, verse 43, you can look it up later. Many claim because they have the Star of David and they wear it around their neck and they have it on their windows and it's from Israel and it's all great and it's fine. I'd like to ask you a question, and that is, did you make it yourselves? Did we make it ourselves? Because just because it came out of Israel doesn't mean it's okay. So we need to ask ourselves some of the things that we've made that have become doctrine and tradition. And dogmatically, thus say we're keeping the faith once delivered. And you start to look at it closely, you may say, no, that's not what God says. This is what I want. Of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word and visits the widows and the fatherless in their affliction. Pure religion. To this man will this woman will I look. Oh, no, we have all these things set up that are exactly the way it's always been. And this is what God wants. And he's saying, no, it's not what I want. Therefore, verse 27, I will cause you, because you don't want to heed all this, you don't want to listen, it don't matter, it's okay, to go into captivity beyond Damascus. So, which is a clear reference to Assyria. Says the Eternal, whose name is the God of hosts. So I just read this and it's like, wow, for me. And I encourage us to search the scriptures daily, okay? Search the scriptures for self-growth and that relationship with God and change and repentance, to have the love of God, to have the strength, the power, the fortitude, the resolve, not fear, not worried, not trepidatious, trusting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you and me. And He'll provide, He'll take care of us. We may suffer horribly physically, we may die, but again, remember, it's not the physical part, it's the spiritual part. I think we are at a time, very short here, where things are going to get really, really much worse than they already have gotten. Financially, spiritually, psychologically, physically. Mentally, if we're not close to God and we're not anchored, and He's living in us through His Spirit, our Father and His Son, as George Clooney would say from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? We're in a tight spot. And I'm not trying to be negative or doom and gloom, it's just the handwriting is on the wall. You remember with Nebuchadnezzar, many, many tekel me upharsin. Your kingdom is numbered. Well, if this guy gets in, America will be great again. If this she gets in, everybody will have happiness and peace and love and hug your little dolls and your animals, and everybody's happy. Neither one says to what God says, seek me, return to me. So pretty encouraging, pretty to the point. That's the thing about the minor prophets. That's why at the beginning I said they're not so minor. Not at all. So I want to open it up for any comments or thoughts. If you're muted, you'll need to
Cleanness.
unmute yourself. Go ahead.
Cleanness of teeth. There's this thing that happens when people starve. Perhaps if you fast, 2 or 3 days, you start to experience this. What scripture is referring to is this process of, pretty much every spot or any type of you can tell when your teeth are dirty is completely gone, because I guess it's just because of what your body does when you fast or when you starve. And so it's a very unique kind of a feeling on your teeth, more so than when you brush your teeth, you feel them clean, but when you fast and starve, they're exceptionally. Just my experience has been that way. And also the star, I believe it's referred to as, in Acts 7, it's referred to as the star of Remphan. And so there is information out there, of course, about the two triangles which are inverted to make this 6-pointed star, which is not a good thing. I won't go any further. I just have to say that I think that's what it is.
My point with that was not to anybody that wears one or has one or likes them, wasn't
Right.
to put that down. That's your choice. I'm just saying there's so many things that we equate that's fine and good or better, And I just say, I'm not saying question everything you've ever believed. I don't mean that. But yes, I want you to question everything you've ever believed. I want you to prove it. And if you can't prove it, fine. And I'm not trying to ridicule or make fun of anyone. I'm just saying, don't just say, well, this is this, and this is this, and this automatically is this. And because you can get suckered in, especially by people that will teach that. They will say, well, if it's this word, then this is it, and this is the authority of God. And someone else you'll find who's an authority. I have rabbis in my family. And I know of different rabbis. We had some during one in college, if you remember Gil, Mark Kaplan, who had been a rabbi. And so you start asking them for input, they're going to have all kinds of opinions based on what their intellectual level, their study level is. And if we're not careful, you'll fall into this. Well, for example, let me just share this. No, maybe I don't know. I don't want to get sued. I had a professor, if you will, in college. That back during 95, things went south, and he was, some of you know who I'm talking about. He was Dr. So and so, and he was the authority on the Bible. And the short and the long of it, he then did a switcheroony. And when he died, I saw it on Facebook recently, he was a father of some Greek Orthodox church, right, Kathy? I think it was. And so it was like everybody was like, wow, this is great. It's like, so you believe that at one time, supposedly, and then you really went to here. The problem is you can, if you're not careful, especially with positions in the church, just, oh, this guy's wonderful. Do you really know what he believes? Well, I hear him speak. Yeah, I don't mean anything. And you can have that with politicians. You can have that in business. You can have that in so many different aspects of our life. And so I just say, prove all things. If you can't prove it, don't be so dogmatic about why it should be this way. Because you may be able to prove it, but there's plenty of people that can say, here's what I've researched. And for me, I can't. So And you can read into scripture what you think is how it should be too. I can do the same thing, but in the multitude of counsel, there's safety, and you can be by yourself and really get sucker punched by stuff. How many of us believed, and I know this is public recorded, how many of us believed that if we were just in said church, we would be wafted off to the place of safety without any suffering? And we believed it, and we taught it, and that's what it was. And it's like one day you're like, but that's not what scripture says for me. And some still believe that. Some larger churches still, with all their heart and mind, they're going to just be protected. Not a hair in their head's going to be covered or injured or touched. And I just say, not trying to be sarcastic, good luck with that theory of belief. Makes you feel good, but anyway, Gail.
I had another comment on chapter 4. We talked when we were covering it. It says, "Yet you have not returned to me," and it mentions famine, drought, pestilence, and swords. This is like a parallel to Revelation 6 when it's talking about the final seals. So, what happened to Israel is God warned them and brought all these troubles to them to get their attention so that they would turn around, but they didn't. And they finally were taken over by the Assyrians. Well, as so often happens in the Bible, what happened in the past most likely and will happen a second or a third time. Well, it's going to happen again. And our nation is part of Israel in a grand sense, you know. And it says in Revelation 6, these things will be coming, pe pestilence and famine and wars, and just like it did to Israel. We know what happened to them. So it's just, should we who know, understand, should be that much more on our toes, ready, seeking God.
So George Santana, the famous philosopher, and Joe's my computer guy, so he'll find out if this quote is right. But basically, for those that forget what's happened in history, they are destined to repeat it. I think it was George Santana or Howard or something, but
Santiana.
Santana, sorry. Santana's a rock band, but Santana. And are we not as humans the same way? You ever look at any of you ever do this and don't raise your hand or just think about this? Any of you ever think about something with your parents and then you fast forward to your age in the 50s, 60s, 70s and you say, oh, you know, just like my mom or my dad, I'm doing the same thing or I'm going through the same thing. You know, it's like my dad in his final years had lots of surgeries and he was in pain a lot and he would sit in the basement with his wrists wrapped. He'd had shoulders, knees, hips, ankles, I don't know what all. Pacemaker. And he would just sit in front of the TV and I would say, are you okay? And he was so frustrated because he couldn't do anything except just sit there. He wanted to do stuff, but he couldn't. He was in too much pain. Well, I sit there and look in the mirror now and I say, I'm quite a bit younger than that. And here you go. And so you shake your head. I wasn't going to be like this. Well, sometimes things happen. You know, the song, I don't like it, but the cat's in the cradle, the silver spoon, the little boy blue, and the man in the moon. Remember that? I'm a lot like you, Dad, or I'm a lot like you, Mom. That could be good or bad. And so, Israel, this nation, those people that do not turn to God and repent, especially if they've been called. And those that once it says they knew the truth and they have turned their nose and gone away from it. He said they're like a dog. He's very graphic in Proverbs. It's returned to its vomit. They're right back into the world and everything's fine. It's okay. So you're right, Gail. Thank you. Good point. Okay, anybody else? Tengo pregunta, Noé. ¿Es posible responder?
Oh, hello. Can you
Hi,
hear me?
Noé. Yeah, tengo pregunta. ¿Cuándo es
Yeah.
the
How are you?
what day? ¿Un día es 11 or 12 or no, otro? For your court thing.
Do you mean the next audience?
Yeah.
Oh, it's in 1 week.
Próxima.
Tuesday, September the 17th.
17. Okay, gracias.
Yeah.
So continue
Yeah.
to remember
Thank
the
you
way.
for your prayers.
Sí, señor. Re remember on the way on the next Tuesday. So a week from today. Okay. Anybody else have any comments or thoughts? All right. Last time Gail closed. Bill Garrett, are your eyes still open from all that fun fishing you did? Are you still awake? Okay. All right.
My computer or phone shut down on me, so I had to log back in. Yeah,
Oh.
I'm okay. I'm
Well,
almost awake.
would you be willing to close with in prayer if you're
I'd
okay?
be willing.
Okay,
All right.
please. Thank you.
Father in heaven, we ask you that you will dismiss us and that you will put your protection around us and take care of us. And thank you for the words that you've given to us. And we ask you that you will help us to understand what we've heard tonight and to apply it to our lives. You are the great and the almighty God, and we need your help. And Father, we ask you that you will be with those who that need your healing, and that you will be with all of us and help us to become more like you are and our Savior Jesus Christ, and that you will be with us every day. And we ask you all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.
Amen.